Most of you remember, right, that Christmas morning would come and everything would just appear, right? The tree, the lights, the gifts, all of those things, they just showed up. At least it seemed like that for little ones, and it probably still seems like that for little ones today. But the experience of Christmas is an event and a period of time where a lot of preparation has to go into it, right? I can tell you that at our house, I know the Christmas tree went up at a certain time. There were lights that were placed on the tree and decorations that were around. And I remember for a long time, as long as there was a wall available, when the Christmas cards started coming, they started going up on the wall. But it wasn't willy-nilly. They were most often placed in the shape of a Christmas tree. So we had this wall of Christmas cards that was just shaped like a Christmas tree that we could enjoy and look at and all of that. But even that took some preparation, right? And then on December 23rd, my parents would go Christmas shopping. December 23rd? That seems kind of late, right? Preacher, they had to have gotten ahead of that. Well, no, because December 23rd was my parents' anniversary. And on their anniversary, they would go out to dinner, I'm sure, and we would have a babysitter, one of the very few times in the whole year that we would have a babysitter when I was young. And they would then complete their Christmas shopping before they came home. That's just the way it happened at our house. And then, of course, on Christmas night, there was gift wrapping that took place for the gifts that we had for one another. And then late in the evening, into the evening, my parents, my mother in particular, would be busy wrapping gifts and preparing for the morning with the Christmas tree. With all of us coming together. That takes a lot of preparation. And it doesn't happen without a good deal of love placed in every piece of tape, in every opportunity of purchase for a gift and that sort of thing. Do we not think hard about what it is that we're going to give and share with our families along the way? I'll tell you, in the families that I've been associated with, there are Christmas lists that start months in advance, okay? And in some cases, that's pretty valuable and important because, we've got to mail them. We've got to send them. But you know what? It's so easy because now I can just go online, click a few buttons, and it gets mailed and delivered and everything. And that's a pretty cool thing for me. But my friends, what I want us to think about today is that there is an important thing that is taking place at Christmas time that none of us could do without the long-term preparation of our Lord and Savior, of the living God who created the world. And I think we want to remember that even from the creation, there was preparation for the sacrifice of our Savior. And that sacrifice also was prepared for by the birth of a Savior through a virgin who was seeking to honor and please God with her life. Preparations. I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. And in the first few verses of that, Isaiah 40 is one of those chapters when you say, okay, I think I remember something from Isaiah 40. And at the very end of the book, the chapter, is where we see the statements about waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And folks, today, that verse is on the backside of the what happened in the beginning of this chapter. And these words, if you've ever been to a performance of Handel's Messiah, you will have heard a tenor solo singing these words, "Comfort, comfort ye my people." I sang it when I was in college, had a lot of fun with it. I'm not going to try to do it now because I haven't practiced. But the reality is this, the Lord God has called us to be a people who receive the peace that comes only from Him. And so let's begin reading in Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 1. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one crying out, 'Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Let's pray. O Lord God, we come to you with hearts ready to hear from you. We'd ask, Father, that you might use our feebleness to bring us to a place of freshened understanding and knowledge of the life and the glory of Jesus, our Savior, the one who was to come. Lord, we give thanks and praise to you, for you are good. Thank you for this passage that tells us about what was taking place when Jesus came. As much as anything, making it possible that we might have life everlasting. Thank you today, Lord, for forgiveness of sin. And thank you for your suffering. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray together in your holy name. Amen. Amen. You know, there are some other passages, some other prophecies that we're going to take a look at later in the month as we move on through. But in the earlier part of Isaiah, we find in Isaiah chapter 9 these stories or this passage about the announcing of the coming of the Prince of Peace. I'm just going to read verses 6 and 7 right now, where it says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. His reign will be on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." As we consider the things that are presented to us in all of the Old Testament, we look through and we see how God has revealed himself, and we look through and we see then how he has announced that there will be things coming. There are these prophecies that he has presented to us that tell us that we should keep our eyes open and we should be watching for the things that he has prepared for us. And today, friends, he has prepared peace for us. Our Advent thought for today is the thought of peace. And as we think about peace, we know that there has always been, in some part of the world, a lack of peace. In fact, most of the time when we declare peace, that peace has occurred and that peace has come, it's hard for us to be absolutely confident and sure that peace will be lasting. because we know that in this world there will be troubles. We know that in this world people are going to be in conflict with one another. Nations will rise against nations. And even the scriptures tell us that there will be deep struggle within the context of families. And as you look across the land today, we know that there are many, even in the body of Christ, who are at odds with one another. And yet the Lord Jesus has come that we might have life and that we might have peace. Today, as we consider this, we want to remember that it is the Lord who has prepared peace for us. And you know what? That's coming. That's coming. We declare peace. I declare peace because I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is within me, and I know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit alive and at work in me brings peace. That's one of those things on the list of fruit. By the way, the fruit is the fruit. And you don't get one without the other. If you have the Holy Spirit, you receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We talk about that sometimes, and of course, at the end of the list is patience. Excuse me. At the end of the list is self-control. And, you know, some people like to pick and choose the fruit of the Spirit, and they love to relish in that. You know, say, well, I like love. I like love. Joy, oh joy. I just celebrate joy. But my friends, the fruit of the Spirit is all of it. And some of it seems a little bit more elusive, but that's why we have help. That's why we have the help. Pardon me. The help of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. With me? Patience, right? Kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I might have missed one. But my friends, every one of those things is what God wants to produce in you. And peace is among those things that we need to have. And when we are without peace, we are not allowing the Spirit of God, who is available and present with everyone who has placed their faith and put their trust and professed their love for Jesus Christ. That peace is yours because the Spirit of God dwells within you. My friends, today, God has prepared us for peace. And He has loved us so much that He even provides it. And He even makes it possible that while we live in this world that is lacking peace, that we will have peace. Remember, Jesus said to His disciples, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. You won't have the peace that the world wants to bring. But I will give you peace, for I have overcome the world. Philippians 4 tells us that when we lack peace, when we are filled with anxiety, when we are troubled, we're bothered by the things that boil within us, that we're bothered by the things that boil around us, we're bothered by the things that boil in other people, we are without peace. We are filled with anxiety. And my friends, the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything. Have no anxiety. Can't even think of the name of the translation right now, but the one I memorized it in my freshman year of college says, have no anxiety about anything. That's a Revised Standard Version. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, if our hearts and our minds are in Christ Jesus, we will have peace. And if you want to argue about that, say, you know, I just can't have peace about that. I struggle. Well, then get your heart and your mind back into Jesus. I'm serious. We need to dwell in Christ. We need to allow Christ and His presence, His Spirit, to dwell in us. But He said, if you continue in my word, You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we will be free from the struggles of anxiety and all of those things because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And we give thanks for that. I want to take just a minute, look a little bit more at this section. In verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 40, he is talking to us about the voice of one crying out. Now, we see the prophecy fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist, and that he is the one who was crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He's the one who was there to prepare the hearts of people for repentance and to call them to repentance and to be obedient to the Lord Jesus. But he was there, and he was the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up and every mountain and hill will be leveled. I remember times of driving across country. I remember from my childhood and teenage years with my family, and then in the years that have come after that, as I've had my own family, various times of going across the great state, the great plains states, and moving back and forth, not moving, but traveling back and forth from time to time between here and Missouri, where I was born, and even as far as North Carolina, on the other end of the spectrum of our great country. I remember that there was never a time driving across our country that there wasn't some form of major road construction. And you know, building a highway takes a lot of work. That's why our government puts billions of dollars into the establishment of the infrastructure for our nation so that people can be moving from here to there, so that goods can be traveling in the trucks that go along the way. And there is a lot of preparation that goes into that. Have you ever just thought about the preparation of even a half a mile section of highway? Half a mile, that doesn't get you very far. You can walk there a lot faster than you can prepare to drive there. And friends, today as we think about that, a half a mile section of highway takes, it may take blasting through rock. It may take blasting out a lot of stuff and digging and using the big diggers. That's what we called them when we were little, big diggers. That's what my kids called them when they were in, and you know, we didn't have Tonka trucks, we had Tonka diggers, and that's just the way that we did it, and the big diggers are out there, and they're working, and they're moving that dirt, they're picking it up, putting on the big dump trucks, they're using the graders and the plows and everything that they need to use to get on through the area where it needs to be done. But that's just the rocks that you have to move, the area that you have to move. In some places, you've got to bring up the roadbed so that you can have something smooth. You know, I seriously love driving country roads, and especially the ones that go up and down like this. I'll never forget the joy that we had when Dad would actually speed up going up over the hill. And of course, there's a certain level of danger there. I'm sure that my father had taken whatever precautions, but he gave us a little bit of extra joy on some of those days. And sometimes our stomachs were left way behind. But the reality is that when you were preparing a highway across a nation, even in a small, short section, you've got these deep dips, and those deep dips have to be filled in. And so in order to fill those in, you're probably going to have to put a culvert in there because it's got to have drainage from above so that it can get on down. It won't be running over the highway. It's got to have drainage. It's got to have a bed that is going to support the rock. So they've got a lot of dirt. They've got a lot of sand. They've got a lot of rock and a lot of different sizes of gravel until they get a road surface that is suitable and will endure over time once you have placed pavement on that road. It takes a lot of preparation. We wonder, how come this project started 18 years ago and it's still going on? You know, Spokane knows, the corridor going north. It's still going on. That was not 18 years ago. That was 35, 40 years ago, something like that. But the reality is this, anything that is good, anything that blesses people likely is going to take a lot of preparation. And friends, today you and I have to remember that the peace for our souls took place because of the loving preparation of our God and our Father as He prepared even to send one to prepare the way, and then He sent His only Son. The preparation of our peace came through much work, much love, much suffering and sorrow, and much sacrifice. That preparation has come to us, and we have celebrated that today because of what Jesus has done for you and for me. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. As you think about the story of the Bible, particularly we remember the story of Israel, and as you look through the whole thing, there is a lot of story of conflict. There is a lot of story of suffering. There is a lot of story of bondage. There is a lot of the story that includes just great battles. Yes, there are great victories among those, but there are great battles. And the people of Israel have always known, at least if they look back and see their history, they realize that there has always been conflict that has been present there. But the wonderful truth about it all is that God promised that through the seed of Abraham, which is the seed of Israel, the seed of Abraham, He would bless all the nations of the world. And it doesn't ever make sense, and it doesn't ever seem fair that Israel seems to be the one who is most greatly picked upon, the most greatly hated, even though their heart is a heart for peace. They're going to fight back. Anytime you go against them, they're going to fight back. But their heart is a heart for peace. Their heart is a heart for the fulfillment of God's promises to them as well. And we give thanks for that. Preparations. In Luke chapter 2, we find the evidence of a lot of pre-preparation taking place. We talked last week about the births of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. We talked about how God prepared that and how each was unique, and here were these unexpected mothers, at least didn't expect at this time of their lives to be having children, and dumbfounded, dumbstruck fathers, literally for Zechariah. And we think about that. And we know that there was some wonderful preparation that took place for Jesus to be born in the world. In Luke chapter 2, we heard this from those who read our Advent reading a little while ago. But I want to look at this first couple of verses. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. How many of you remember the King James wording of that? And in every other translation I've ever read, it's caused me to come to the conclusion that King James Version, the translators for that version probably did some some careful interpretation at that point. I'm not suggesting that it was wrong, because I think it was, I mean, why else would the government want you to register except that you would be taxed? But King James is the only version that I've found that uses this idea that it was done for the purpose of being taxed. And I kind of miss hearing that along the way, because we've got to know that when Joseph took Mary and they were on their way to Bethlehem where Joseph was born, where Joseph came from, the family of David came from, we recognize that it was necessary that they go to that place. But can you think about this just in this way? There was some significant preparation that took place in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled. What did the Old Testament, what did the prophecy say about where the Messiah would be born? Bethlehem, the city of David, the city of David. And friends, today we think about this and there was kind of a 9-month period in here where the whole plan had to be worked out, and there had to be preparation for it to take place at that point and in that time. Caesar Augustus didn't have any idea about it. He just wanted their money. He just wanted to make collection and establish that opportunity. But honestly, God knew what would take place in the proper time. God orchestrated. He is the one who writes it down and who designs it, who devises, and who makes the plan for all of these things to take place. He is sovereign over it all. And that means he is sovereign over kings. He is sovereign over the rulers of our nation. He is sovereign over all. There is nothing that he cannot have influence and does not have influence and bring about as a root cause. Think about the things that are going on in our world today. A lot of them we don't like. A lot of them we're frustrated by. A lot of them they cause us to just scratch our heads. And some of them we weep and cry about because there is such horrible behavior going on. But friends, who is God? And is he sovereign? Yes, he is. Yes, he is, and yes, he always will be. And we want to remember that even in this day, as it starts out in the first verse of chapter 2 in Luke, in those days, it wasn't by chance. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. That was orchestrated by God. It was in the initial master score of all of creation, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Friends, today, that took a lot of preparation, and it took place over a long period of time. But our God and our Father has loved us so much that he would write it down, and that for our peace, he would make a plan. I'm so glad that we have the peace of Christ, which passes understanding, which the Apostle Paul says, let it rule in your heart. A lot of times we let that anxiety rule. But the Bible says, let the peace of God, the peace of Christ, reign in you. Why? Because he's King. He's Lord. And he's the one that loved you enough to die for you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this moment today, for these moments together to share and to open your word and to celebrate what you have done in our lives. Thank you for the life that we have that is ours forever because of what you've done, Jesus. Lord, use this moment now to just draw us close to you. Father, if we're filled with anxiety about the things of this world, maybe the things of Ukraine and Russia, or maybe the anxieties of what's going on in Venezuela and other parts of the world, Israel and Gaza. All of this that's out there that in America we've been so wonderfully shielded from. And yet we are mindful and we are aware that there is great suffering and great tension in the hearts of folks there. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you that through the promise and the work of the cross, we have peace. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. We trust in you, Lord. And I pray that for every person here today, that there will be peace. There are personal things happening. There is illness, and there is passing. And much of that likes to rob us of the joy of knowing you, God. But Lord, you have promised peace even in the difficulties of those sufferings. Oh Lord, grant that peace today. And if there's anyone here in this room who has just continued to feel like they're boiling in anxiety, Lord, may they today, right now, find the peace that passes understanding and gives hope and life and peace. Peace where they can rest in you. Thank you, Lord, for these things. We love you. Be glorified. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.